Are you ready to try your hand at placing your very first stock trade? Then check out our free guide, 10 Steps to Choosing Your First Stock to Trade, the Ultimate Beginner's Guide. In this free download, you'll learn how to choose the right kinds of stocks and how to find them, know when to buy your stocks and when to sell them, and you'll learn how to take your very first steps to becoming a stock trader and much more. Grab your free guide now by going to tradeway.com/guide. That's tradeway.com/guide. Hey guys, I'm David Mitchell, founder and CEO of Tradeway. What if God himself gave you a blueprint for how to handle your money? Well, the Bible is a practical book. Let's dive in and see what it has to say about wealth, about risk, about leverage, and about investing, and uncover how trading in the stock market can be a powerful tool for moving towards your biggest goals. We're so happy you're here. This is The Word on Investing. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. You know, a couple of episodes ago, we talked about a topic called mistakes that can ruin your trading. And today I want to talk about a topic that's going to sound really similar to you, but it's really different. It's about rules that you can easily break and not even know you're doing it. So I'm going to give you an example of a trade and see if you can see, you know, what rule did we break? Think about this. So let's have a situation here where a person sees a trade. It's a stock he's kind of been watching, and he draws a support line. He draws a resistance line. It's bouncing up off the 20-day moving average. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful rolling stock, for example. And he doesn't want to miss the play, but it actually bounced 3 days ago. And so he goes ahead and he jumps in that play maybe 3 days after the perfect buy point. And then all of a sudden, before it ever gets up to the normal sell point, something happens in the news out in the world or the economic news, and the stock just tanks on him and he has to stop it out and he loses money. So what happened there? Well, you had really only one rule that was broken, but it has two really major sub points, both of which are bad. And it is that you got into a play with a bad buy point. It's not enough just to recognize a beautiful pattern. You have to also learn the perfect buy point for each pattern that you learn. And if you go out to tradeway.com and you take advantage of any of the educational systems out there, you're going to see both the patterns and the buy point, the perfect buy point. You need to learn both and you need to keep that rule. So this was an example of a bad buy point. We waited 3 days too late to get in the play. What should we have done? We should have said to ourselves, okay, emotionally, I want to get in this because it just looks like it's going to work. And so what I'm thinking is, well, 3 days too late. It's already gone up a couple of bucks, but it still could go $3 more to hit the sell point and I could make $3. I think I'll get in. See, that's the thinking that goes through your mind that makes you break the rule. And the problem with it is when you get in at a bad buy point, you break the win big rule, right? We're supposed to win big and lose small. That's the way we get the math in our favor, but you're not going to win big if it's already moved a third of the way up the channel and you get into it late. You're going to only earn maybe at most a little over 2/3 what you should have earned. So you're not winning big. You're winning medium, or maybe you're winning small. So you're breaking the win big, lose small rule. Secondly, you're going to mess up your stop out rule. It's going to make it much less likely, if the play goes the wrong way, that you can get out of that with a relatively small expense. It's probably going to be much larger. Rather than 8%, it might be 16% loss because you got in at a bad buy point and you're tempted to let it roll back down to that support line that you originally saw, thinking, well, it'll bounce up off that. But if it doesn't and you stop out below that line, it could be a 15% or 20% loss. And now you're losing big and winning small. That's never going to work. And you're going to wake up someday and think, well, I'm a terrible trader. And you're really not. You're just not good at keeping the rule, right? The good buy point rule, you broke it. It doesn't mean you're a bad trader. It means you broke that rule and you haven't recognized it yet. So that's one you can easily break and not even know you're doing it. Over a period of time, you'll just start thinking you're a lousy trader. And what it is you've got to catch those buy points immediately when it bounces up off support the same day is best. or the next day at the latest. But 3 days is way too late. So here's another scenario. Let's see what's happening here. So let's say you've got $10,000 in your trading account and you see a beautiful rolling stock at a good buy point around $50 a share, and it's rolling up to $60 a share and back down to $50. So you could purchase call options for about $5 per share, and you can control 1,000 shares. Now the stock moves up $10, and guess what you make? You make $9,500 profit. Well, now you've got $19,500 in your account, almost $20,000. You started with 10, so you're feeling pretty good. And it's still pretty. In fact, it's prettier than ever because it already worked once. And now you're absolutely sure, and I've got that in all caps. I mean, you are sure it will roll up at least one more time. It may keep rolling for weeks. So it rolls back down to support, bounces up slightly at the perfect buy point, and you say to yourself, well, this has just got to work. And when I go tell my spouse about this, telling her that now I've got like $40,000 starting with 10 is going to be awesome. So I'm just going to put the whole amount in. So you invest the full $19,500 because you're sure it's going to work. It's already rolled five times. It's just got to roll one more time and I'll be done with this trade. So you put the full amount in, $19,500 into the trade, which would buy you about 3,900 shares with the call option. That's a lot more than the 1,000 shares, right? Boy, this is going to be great. And so then all of a sudden it breaks the pattern. And on the sixth roll, it only goes up a dollar or so and then starts tanking. And it goes down below the support line. And you might should have stopped it out a little sooner, but you just knew it would come back. And then all of a sudden you said, no, I've got to keep the rule. So you stop it out at a $3 loss. So you lose $11,700. Now you lost more than you made on the first trade. So now you think you're a really bad trader, and really all you did was you broke the trade size rule. If you'd kept the rule, you wouldn't be thinking that. So for example, what if you'd only put $5,000 in the second trade, the same amount you put in the first trade, which is the rule? You would have only lost $3,000, which means you still netted $6,500 profit on the two plays, and you're thinking you're a genius. All it is you just kept a rule that you were taught, right? So the key is put the same amount of money in each play for a season. It's really easy to break that rule, though, because your emotions get involved and you want to brag a little bit to your spouse. And you think, well, if I put twice that amount in, I'm going to really do well. And it's got to work because it's working so beautifully. That's why we have the rules, though. You can't eliminate emotions like greed or pride, but you can control them with rules. You may be thinking, well, if he stopped it out at $3, he's not losing small. And that's true, because what did he think? He just knew that he was right and it would roll back up, and he stayed in it too long. But it's a good thing he didn't lose more than that, right? What if you broke a second rule in this same example and you just decided, you know, this thing fell below the support line, but it's rolled five times. I know it's going to come back up, and you don't stop it out at $3 a share. And it keeps moving down every day, 50 cents a share, every day lower, lower. And finally at five, you give up and you stop it out. Well, if you stop that thing out at $5 per share, now you've lost $19,500 in one play. That's everything you had and you're broke. But anyway, it's just not going to work because the trade size was wrong and you stopped it out late because now you're feeling badly because you've got so much money in the trade, you don't want to get out of the trade. Because the minute you sell it, you have to admit you made a mistake. You've got to admit you lost money. So you stay in it too long. Now you've doubled the mistakes. You not only broke the trade size rule, you broke the stop out rule. You didn't stop it out immediately when you should have. Now what are you thinking? Not only are you thinking you're a terrible trader, but you're out of money. So these rules are really important and they're easy to break. You sit there and you think, well, it only went down 50 cents today below the support line. Surely it'll come back, right? Well, the next day it might drop $2. And now you're thinking, well, if I stop it out now, I'm just going to lose everything I've got. So I'm just going to stay in it. And so then it drops to $5 and you say, ah, man, you stop it out and you actually do lose everything you've got. So, you know, it's really important. I'm going to reemphasize this. We want you to use small money trading when you're new because you are going to break some of these rules. It's just human nature. You're going to break them. So break them with small amounts rather than large amounts. All right. So let's talk about another one now. So what if you see this beautiful little flag pattern? A large majority of uptrending stocks do flag patterns. Okay. And you learn this out at tradeway.com. If you take step one, you're going to learn what a flag pattern is, even in the very first class for beginners. So you'll recognize this uptrending pattern called the flag pattern. And we call it that because it makes a little move down. It looks kind of like a flag. And then it makes a big move up that looks like a flagpole. And then it makes the next flag. And so you make your money on the flagpole, if you can picture that. So let's say that you've seen this beautiful stock. And the minute you go in there and you look at this particular stock, it's made five of these things. It is so consistent. They're almost identical as far as how much it moves up each time. And the flag is almost identical in how much it moves down a little bit before it makes the next big move up. And you say, wow, this has got to work. And so you put your money in the trade, and sure enough, it turns and goes against you, and you stop it out. Well, a real easy rule to miss is called the late stage base rule. And that is when you see these little flags, that's a type of a base. When you see the little flags, if you've seen more than about three or four of them, probably at least four, when you get out to the fifth and the sixth, everyone is statistically less likely to work again. And that's a rule you need to know, and you need to keep that rule, because what happens emotionally when you see when it's done five flags that look identical, you say, well, it's got to do a sixth one. Well, the fifth flag was a late stage base, which means it's not statistically likely to repeat itself. So don't do the trade. Go find another stock that's only done two or three of the flags and jump in that one. Okay, now here's another one, and that is doing plays in a stock that you love, but there's no recognizable pattern. And I see people do this all the time. They'll send me three or four stock plays to analyze when they've maybe lost some money, and I'll look and I'll say, why did they even get in this thing? I don't see any pattern, any recognizable pattern at all. And I'll talk to them on the phone about it, and I'll say, what did you see here? And they say, well, I just saw it bounce up off the 20-day moving average, and so I jumped in. Well, that is not enough. You can use the 20-day moving average to give you a clue where to draw the support line, but you also need to have a resistance line, and it needs to be making a pattern in between the support and resistance line that you recognize, like a flag pattern or something. You need to have a good reason to jump into the play. And some people will watch a stock that was making a good pattern, and then it broke the pattern and went down. And then as it moves back up and gets on top of that 20-day moving average, they just get in it again, but it's not making that same flag pattern anymore. So you got into a play that's not in a recognizable pattern. That's a big problem. That can really multiply in a negative way if you get in that habit. Now, here's another one. You see a stock that has just moved down a whole lot. I mean, it tanked for a while, and now it made a little bump up, and you're thinking this way, well, it's gone down so far, it has to move back up, so you jump in the play. Well, that's not a pattern either. I mean, just because a stock moved down a lot does not mean it's going to move up. It may be moving down for a reason. It may be that their products are just not good anymore. People don't like them, and their sales are tanking, and their earnings per share is tanking, and they're just not a great company anymore. And you think it's just going to go up because it went down. It may go to zero and go out of business, right? So you don't buy a stock just because it went down a lot. But people do it all the time. I see them do that. And that's not doing a proper play on a recognizable pattern at a perfect buy point, is it? All right, now here's another one. This is kind of the opposite. This one's kind of funny because you see a stock move up to an all-time high. And all of a sudden, people will turn around and buy puts in that stock because they say, well, it just passed its all-time high. It's got to go down now. So they buy puts, which is a type of option that should make money when the stock goes down, because they're thinking since it just reached an all-time high, it's got to go down. Well, statistically, if you go look at thousands of stocks that have reached all-time highs, statistically, they have a much higher than 50% chance to move up than down. So they're more likely to actually move up, and yet people will buy puts thinking that it's got to go down because it went so high. That's just not what happens. So when you start doing these kinds of things, you're going to think you're a terrible trader. So it's just because you're not keeping the rules that you learned in step one, step two out there at tradeway.com. Always stick with recognizable patterns at perfect buy points. And keep your late stage base rule. Don't forget that one. And this is going to give you so much more potential to be a great trader. Now, here's the fifth one. And I'm going to stop with this one today because we've gone quite a while. But here's what this looks like. So you're in a position where you've gotten pretty good at trading. And you're so good at trading, you've decided that you'd rather make a living with a laptop on a beach than to have to go to work where there's a boss that you have to answer to, and you think you can trade for a living now. And you may well have the skill sets to do it because you've traded enough and practiced first, then did the small money trading, and then you started trading with larger amounts, and you actually have had a few months where you made as much money or more than you made at your job, and so you quit. Well, maybe you quit too soon, because now all of a sudden you have the pressure on you that you have to make a certain amount per month just to live at your current lifestyle, right? So now you start doing trades just because you have to make money this month or this week. And so you're doing what we call reaching for trades. They're not beautiful patterns, or they're a pattern, but they're not at a perfect buy point, but you got to make money. So you jump in at a late buy point, and then what we talked about earlier happens. You lose money. You stop out. And here's the problem with this is you don't do a trade because you have to have money. That's just not how it works. You do a trade by waiting and watching and waiting and watching and watching the S&P 500, charting it to see if the whole market's moving in the right direction, checking your news to make sure the market tone is happy and everything's good for an uptrade, and then finding the perfect trade, which might take a week or two to find the perfect trade with a beautiful pattern at a perfect buy point. And then when the market presents this opportunity, that's when you jump in and you do the trade. And it might be 2 weeks after you thought you needed the money, right? And if you had gotten in one the day you thought you had to make money, but there's nothing at a beautiful pattern or at a good buy point, and you jump in anyway, you're going to think you're a terrible trader. And it's just because the pressure of having to make money is ruining your trades, because you should only trade when the market presents a near perfect trade, one that you look at and you say, well, this one's perfect. That's the trade you should do, not one that you want to do just because you got to be trading. Another thing is a lot of people get addicted to trading and they just think they want to trade every day. I always want to be in the market. Or here's a mistake I made when I was first really starting out, is I said, you know, I need to have my money in the market all the time if I'm going to make money with my money. Well, you just can't think any of those ways. You have to just let the market present the perfect looking trade to you and then trade. That's how we do it. All right. So here's what I recommend. When you get to a point where you really are close to being able to trade for a living, and we've got maybe 10% of our total students that do that now, and the other 90% trade, you know, part-time, and that's great. But before you jump into that, I would really make sure that you can make enough money trading in about 7 to 9 months to make enough for a whole 12 months. Or else you're not ready to trade. So make sure you have enough money in the account that would produce that even when you don't trade every week, in other words. So when you do the math, you may have only traded 9 months out of 12, but you made 12 months worth of money. When you get to the point where you could do that, that's when you might start thinking about firing the boss. So I think it would be really smart to talk to one of our coaches before you ever pull that trigger and talk about those issues. Can I make 12 months worth of money in 7, 8, or 9 months of trading? Because out of a whole year, I'm probably going to only have that much where there's good trading. I mean, because you can even have market corrections or squirrely sections where you should just be in cash for a while, and that can eat up some of your time. So you've got to be able to make a year's income with 7, 8, or 9 months of trading, not 12 months of trading. Does that make sense? So anyway, that's not what this topic's really about, but I thought I would throw that in there, because one of the mistakes people make without thinking about it is they trade to make money rather than trading when the market presents a really good trade. All right, that's all I've got for you today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate and review this so other friends out there that have similar interests can find it. And I hope you have a great day. We'll see you next time.